In our scripture text that we're going to read a little bit later this evening, Jesus uses the word hypocrite to describe those who put on airs in public to make people believe that they were holy, that their religious practices were, well, perfect. But their hearts were actually not in the practice, rather in the rewards that public approval could bring them, which is here today, often gone tomorrow. Sometimes it is life itself that robs us of the shiny, perfect life that we've planned for ourselves. Maybe a terrible diagnosis, a broken heart, a lost opportunity. I want you to imagine for a moment, or I want to invite you for a moment, to think about the places in your life and in your faith where you could begin to loosen yourselves from the chains of perfectionism. I mean, to think about a place in your life where you feel imperfect. Maybe it's a part of your body. Maybe it's a career decision you've made. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in. Maybe it's how you eat or how you pray or how you interact with God. But a place where you say, I'm just not good enough. And I want you to write that down on that piece of paper as we take a moment of silent reflection this evening. As you maybe continue to write or continue to reflect, that's okay. But hear this compassionate word from the prophet Isaiah. He says, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undergo the throngs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Know that already God is offering us freedom from the bonds of perfectionism, inviting us to break the yoke of what should be so that we might discover what might be when we honor the small steps that are actually possible in this moment for this one day. And know that despite our sometimes faltering steps, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, even now. Say that with me. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. It is the practice in our tradition to stand during the reading of the gospel. Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew's gospel. We're going to read from chapter 6. We're going to kind of skip around a little bit. We'll read the first 6 verses, and then we'll skip over to verse 16 and read through 21. Hear now these words from the gospel according to St. Matthew. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may be giving in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Jacob, I totally used NIV, didn't I? Uh-huh, yep. So he has the NRSV Bible pre-built into our technology, and so sometimes I accidentally will use the wrong one. My bad. I often find myself making comparisons to myself and others that I might deem better, and ask questions like, well, do I preach as well as that super popular preacher down the streets or on TV? Do the pictures I post on social media look like I have my life together? What cool places can I take my kids that everyone else is going to? Is my home decorated beautifully like magazines, or at least the pictures I see pop up on my friends' social media feeds? Do the things I have, the relationships I invest in, the places I travel, do these really bring me joy? But most importantly, do they glorify God? Or do they just fulfill some void that I think life should look like? Because, well, it seems like everyone else does. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder, am I good enough? Am I a good enough wife? Or a good enough mom? A good enough pastor? A good enough citizen? Do I know enough? Do I do enough? Do I pray enough? Do I love enough? Am I the only one? And then I wonder, what if I am really enough? We are told in Scripture that we are beloved by God, that we were wonderfully and beautifully made in God's image. And yet, we struggle, we compare, we try to live these lives that are perfect, and we focus on the places where it's not. Do I have enough? Do I look good enough? Do I have the right clothes? Do I drive the right car? Do I have the right size house? Do I go to all the right places? Our scripture reading tonight from Matthew is part of this extended discourse in these few chapters in Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. It's right in the middle of this discourse called the Sermon on the Mount that you may have heard of before. Right? It's the world's greatest sermon. And each practice that Jesus talks about here, whether it's fasting or almsgiving, has a conditional sort of clause. He says, whenever you. And each description that follows kind of positions human perception with God's reception. How we perceive what is going on versus how God receives our gifts. And he says, hey, don't be like those hypocrites who pray loudly in the street, rather pray quietly, right? Don't fast like the hypocrites, he says, who make their faces look all disfigured, but instead he says, throw some oil and water on your face to where you look well so others don't know you're fasting. And so he makes this striking kind of contrast between public performance and what's happening on the inside. And he focuses on the hypocrites. The Greek here for hypocrites means an actor or stage player. Anyone ever do any theater? Ever? Yeah. So when you do theater, you pretend to be someone you're not, right? My favorite role in theater was Mrs. Peru in The Music Man, right? I got to be a cute little old redheaded Irish lady. I am an Irish lady, but not her. But these hypocrites in Scripture are much like stage actors. They pretend to be something on the outside that they really aren't on the inside. They engage in this wonderful holy work that we're called to, like charity, prayer, fasting, caring for others. But their reason for doing it is for public approval. Not to grow closer to God. Now, I think it's easy for us to kind of try to put the word hypocrite solely on who Jesus was probably talking about in Scripture. Most of the time, he talked about the hypocrites as the scribes and the Pharisees, right? But I think it would be a misstep for us to only ascribe hypocrites to the other. Because in fact, we're kind of hypocritical too. Now, most of us don't run around the streets praying loudly, right? Most of us probably don't fast ourselves until we look disfigured. Most of us probably don't, you know, give in such abundance where we're just pouring our gold out into the middle of the street, right, for everyone to see. But there are things that we do in our lives for the benefit of others or for the benefit of the world. There are things that we look at and we say, how can I make my life better? Not to glorify God, but so that we can keep up or make face. Maybe it's the clothes we wear or the car we drive or the house we have. Or maybe it's the post we put on social media. I know that's true for me. But maybe it's time for us to say, I'm not perfect, but I am good enough for God. John Wesley talked a lot about perfection. Confirmation kiddos will know this answer. When we're asked, do you expect to be made perfect in this life? What are we supposed to say? Say it. Yes, right? At our ordination vows, the bishop comes and lays hands on us, and we get asked the series of questions, and he says, do you expect to be made perfect in this life? And we say, yes. So kind of as I was preparing for this series of, you know, we're not perfect, it's okay to be imperfect, I was like, whoa, wait, but we're Methodist. How does this hash out? And I think it comes back to what Wesley's talking about. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So often we want to be perfect because of what the world says. But God will transform our hearts if we will allow God to make us into his perfect, beloved children, even with all of the imperfections that we have. Here in just a moment, it is Ash Wednesday, and so we're going to impose ashes on our foreheads. It's a reminder of our own mortality, that we come from dust, and from dust, or to dust we shall return, right? We were formed from the clay of the earth, we hear in Genesis. But we all know we all die. We all go back to the earth. But in this time of in between, we have to figure out how to live this life that God has called us to try to follow God as closely as we possibly can. And so one of the questions that we ask ourselves during the Lenten season is, how can we grow closer to God? I think in our lives, instead of trying to figure out how we can be perfect, how we can climb the career ladder, how we can achieve more, gain more, be the best, we could focus more on how we should grow. Grow as the perfectly created creatures that we are. So you wrote your imperfections on a piece of paper, right? Or something that you feel is imperfect in your life. And we're going to take in just a moment an opportunity to kind of give that over to God. Over here we have a planting station. We're going to get our hands dirty tonight. Sorry, folks online. You can't get your hands dirty because you're on a screen. But for the rest of us, I want us to take our purple pieces of paper. I'm going to wad them up, fold them up, tear them up, whatever you want to do with them. And I want you to put them in the bottom of your cup over here. And then I want you to take the soil and dump it on, and then take a plant and plant it on top. And over these next few weeks, we will see how these plants, some may grow, right? Some may die, especially if I'm taking care of them. Some may look exactly as they were tonight, But whatever state they are in, just like you, you are loved by God. And in the midst of your imperfections, whatever you're letting go of, that is a place where God can grow, where God's grace can penetrate your life so fully that you can be transformed by the Spirit. We are reminded in the ritual of the ashes that we are a part of the dust and debris of the earth. Just as things of creation grow, but they also die in this cycle of life. Tonight, we're going to place the sign of the cross on your forehead with ashes. It's a reminder of this difficult reality, but also a reminder of the presence of God, the grace of Christ, the power of the Spirit in all of it. Early Christians, they were also anointed with the sign of the cross on their foreheads at their baptism. This is called a sign and seal, a way to remember that we are marked by God and we are held as God's own through all of the transformations and transitions that we face. I'm going to say a blessing over our ashes, and then I would invite you to come up to plant your papers and your plants over here, and then make your way up here on the chancel area, and I want you to place your plants on one of the rungs of the ladder. And so as we look at these each and every week on Sunday morning, we're going to remind ourselves that we're not called to climb and to reach for the aspirations that the world is calling us to, but to grow in the grace of God. Let's pray over our ashes, and then I invite you to come forward as you wish. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes are a reminder that we are yours, that we are loved by you, and that we are good enough. Nourish us, O God, that we may grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. Tonight, we think about the ways in which we can grow closer to God, the small steps in our lives that we can take, not to make it look like we're a success by the world's standards, but so that we can be transformed by the Spirit. For many, money is often a ruler of our lives, a place that causes us to stumble, and to try to live like the world does, to build more and more wealth, or to buy the newest thing that again causes us to go into debt, or to be financially insecure, to keep up with our neighbors. Do we have the latest and greatest, the nicest clothes? Instead, one small step that we can take is to start to think about our money as a tool to live like God wants us to live. To think of our very next dollar as a gift from God, a blessing that we have that we can use to further God's kingdom and to bless others. We're going to have a moment, a time of offering tonight. If you would like to give to our church, there are offering boxes in the back of the sanctuary. You can also give online by going to our website. But I want you to pray about and think about your very next dollar. And whether you give it to the church, or you give it to another organization, or you use it to buy someone a cup of coffee, or whatever it might be, how can you use it to glorify God and to bring yourself closer to God and to be transformed by his wonderful grace? Take a moment, pause, and pray as you think about how God is calling you to give. Our series this Lent is called Good Enough. It's based on a book by Kate Bowler. It's a brand new book by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie. And if you follow Kate Bowler at all, she's a seminary professor. And one of the things that she studies is the prosperity gospel. And kind of this idea that we're called to live our best lives right now. You ever heard that kind of headline on a self-help book? Live your best life right now. But she was reminded that sometimes you just can't. That sometimes life throws you a curveball. And she was diagnosed with a very dangerous form of cancer. Luckily, she survived, but she was reminded that in the gospel, we're not called to live perfect lives that we imagine for ourselves, but transformed lives that God leads us in. And so Good Enough is a book of devotions that she and her partner are in writing, Jessica Ritchie, wrote, where they offer these invitations to seek alternatives to the pressures of perfectionism. If you would like a copy of the book, I'm happy to help you order one. We can order that through the office, or I can help you order it on your own time. But I would invite you this Lenten season to take on that spiritual practice. One of the things that they say in their book is a fast is giving up something, anything that helps us make more room for God. It might be a break from social media or Netflix, maybe caffeine or unkind words. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe holding a grudge. If you are someone who has a complicated relationship with restricting food, maybe you should skip that kind of thing right now and try something else instead. But they say, remember, it isn't about punishing yourselves, but it's about you and God. So each week, I would invite you to think about something that you could give up to make room for God, whatever that might be. And I want to say a blessing before our fast that we will take over these next 40 days of Lent. Blessed are you, ready to open yourselves to new joy, a doorway that until now has been hidden. In this culture of acquisition and gain, blessed are you, desiring fresh ears to hear what might be a bit too loud, who take the next step to turn it down a notch and to make more space for God. Blessed are you who discipline yourselves with time, intention, and hope, anticipating God to show up in your discomfort, trusting that when we need God, God promises to be there. Blessed are you who are good enough. Thank you so much for joining us for our Ash Wednesday service. As you leave this place, may the God of all creation, who loves you, and Jesus, our companion among the crooked paths of life, and the Holy Spirit, who loves to improvise in surprising ways, may they go with you, dwell among you, and give you joy. Amen.